May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen. Dr. Seyfried, in his book, No Real People, writes the following: "The world is a fire. Not only do we face dangerous days now, but if my projections are right, we can expect our times to become even more difficult. I think that God's people are about to enter a struggle unlike anything that they have experienced for many generations. The next 2 to 5 decades will make the last few years look like child's play." Baker's statement is no mere magic bomb. If you listen to news, read papers and periodicals, and talk to people, you will find that Denmark is not the only place where something is rotten. True, in every age, the world has been, as Luther said, like a big vine about to collapse. But in our Western world, leaders of nations have lost courage, leaders of churches have jettisoned their convictions, and in the meantime, many of the rank and file have spent endless energy wandering aimlessly looking for something, almost anything, with direction and purpose. We should be asking ourselves, in light of the lesson that was read before, how can we effectively prepare ourselves and the congregation we will shepherd to live and witness in such a society? St. Paul, in his moving message to the elders at Ephesus, presents to us 2 solid suggestions. 1, proclaim the whole counsel of God. 2, be the flock of God. Our text points out that St. Paul had certain misgivings about going to Jerusalem. In a sense, he accepted the word based on past thoughts on his life by the hostile Jewish leaders at that time. He said that in every city, the Holy Spirit had warned them that prison and hardship were waiting for him, so he was ready to go. He was willing to surrender his life and liberty, if need be, for the sake of Christ and service. Self-preservation, he marked FSC, was not a motive highly esteemed by Paul. His main concern was to fulfill the course which Christ had marked out for him. But now he was speaking to the leaders of the churches at Ephesus as one who spoke to them for a last time, with a lump in his throat, tears in his eyes, wanting to get certain things off his chest, he spoke from his heart. And he reminded the others at Ephesus that he did not come to proclaim to them all the counsel of God. The verb used in this verse for keeping back or shunning contains the idea of a reaching shore. Bayard writes in his commentary that Paul was just a shore, and below in the port, the sail of the ship flat lying in the breeze. Just from the sailor's speech and conversation, Paul put a touch of salty vividness into his claim to have told them the whole counsel of God. I have not trimmed my sail speaking to you. A check of Paul's letters shows that the apostle did not speak back God's word. He did not water down or tone down anything from the Old Testament. In fact, his writings are replete with Old Testament references. He quotes from 141 different chapters of the Old Testament in his epistles, 200 being single verses from the law, prophets, and writings. His source for theological assertion, therefore, was not man-manufactured, but God-given. His whole purpose in proclamation and writing was not to record a single truth of God's word that might be profitable to his hearers. He was willing to articulate any subject that God's word had addressed. He did not dodge the controversial issues, nor render ambivalent on crucial questions of his day. He treated a large number of points, each in a place. And above all, he took justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ first, because God had put it first. And he made sure that amnesty for repentant sinners came through loud and clear. As the apostle transfers to the elders, the pastoral care of the congregation, he reminds his shepherds to feed the flock. Before a shepherd can do this, however, he must first feed himself. Thus, St. Paul reminds the elders to take heed of themselves. Dr. Luciata reminded last year's fourth year class how this was to be done. begins to write, for instance, 10 tips of ministry. At the top of his list is this advice: no one book. So guess which one it was? No, it wasn't Walter or Peter. As good as they might be, it was God's Word, the Bible. A well-fed shepherd will be able to feed well his flock. A church growth expert has reminded us that 90% of the new members of a church come as a result of close contact from a close friend or relative. This happens when Christians who have been spiritually well-fed put their faith into action out of love for their Savior Jesus Christ. This happens when Christians, in loving response to what God has done for them in Jesus Christ, have the courage and are motivated by love to invite others to come and see. Or when they are grounded in the ABCs of faith enough to simply share with a kind individual what God has done for them in Jesus Christ and can do for them also. This will not happen, however, when a flock is spiritually sick or anemic in the faith. As shepherds and future shepherds, our job is and will be to feed the flock of God with the Holy Spirit has made us overseers. If we feed the flock with the full counsel of God, the flock will be healthy and reproduced. And the shepherd will not have to spend so much time trying to reproduce himself, too. God has entrusted to us the word of his law, which can alone build us up in faith. He has given us the gospel, the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ. The news of the divine favor extended through the atoning merits of Christ to the guilty sinner to free him from guilt and to receive him as God's child. It is this message of law and gospel that still has the greatest effect on the heart of man. It is this message that alone can give life to the masses running to the occult, to the myriads of people being carried along by other false doctrines, to the millions possessed by drugs and alcohol, to the multitudes of deprived people yearning to know the unknown God, knowable only in Jesus Christ. In the October 6th issue of Spectrum, one of the fourth-year students summed up well a task as shepherds and future shepherds, and speaking about the challenges of campus ministry and preaching to Christian professionals, he said, "When you come right down to it, they come to hear the law and gospel just like anyone else. May God grant you strength to grow in grace and wisdom, especially in this time of theft and of land, that you might be prepared to feed well the flock of God, to give them the very best, the full counsel of God, for the flock that has been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Amen."